If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. I want to talk about the blessing of thanksgiving. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. And again, you're all welcome to join us for soup and bun after the service. And if you're not staying for that, please go to a fast restaurant so you, if you're a member, you can be back here to get that quorum that we need. Amen. So starting at verse 11, you'll also see it there on the screen as well. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for all that he has done. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your people this morning. I thank you that you are a God that speaks to us. And Lord, as we look on these walls, it is a testimony that it is true that you as a God do speak today, and you can speak to us as individuals. So we thank you, God, that you're speaking, and we pray you will speak to your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I believe this morning God wants to remind us of the importance of thanksgiving, the importance and the blessing of thanksgiving. I want to encourage you this morning that as we were worshiping the Lord, as I was saying about my message, I was saying, way to go, people, way to go, because you're entering in. And as Toby started telling you folks, like, come on, all of us need to enter in. And that's so very true, because she doesn't know this scripture this morning, because it's talking about, wasn't there 10? Where's the other 9? And as she said that, got talking about, let us all in, you kind of raised it up a level, and you entered in, and you worshiped. That's a beautiful thing. That's what we're supposed to do. See, God expects us. He's expecting us to offer thanksgiving. He's expecting us on every Sunday that we come into this place, he's expecting of us to offer thanks. But it's not just on a Sunday. It's every day. Anytime there's something good that happens to you, God's expecting you to say thank you. And I think, you know, if to summarize the whole message, we could probably summarize it just saying that God's expecting us to say thank you unto him. Now, this really was reinforced to me a couple of weeks back when we had Barry Miracle. And he spoke on a Saturday night. And if you weren't here, man, you missed an awesome, awesome night, because it was extremely powerful what was coming out of his mouth. He never got anywhere near his sermon notes. And he began to prophesy. He began to speak of things that have been, many of them confirming things that have been spoken here before. And he was on fire. He really was. And that was so awesome. It was so good. And as we were going home afterwards, usually we always take the speakers out for something to eat afterwards. We kind of hate that, to be perfectly honest with you, because, you know, they don't want to eat their supper, but then they want to go out and eat something big after the service. We're tired after the service. And so anyway, we're bringing them back. We're bringing them back home, because sometimes the restaurants aren't open late either. And so we're bringing them back home. And I'm feeling the Lord say to me, "Can't you go back and give thanks unto the Lord? Can there not be someone that can go back and give thanks for what I did tonight through this man?" And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll come back and I will give thanks." And I said, "Well, I'll drive the speaker back to the motel, and once we're done at our home, and then I'll just come up here and, you know, give our thanks." Well, as it turned out, somebody else came by the house, and they came in, and then, you know, when it was time to leave, they said, "Well, why don't we just take the person back for you?" And so they did. And I figured, well, I was going to go back up and give thanks. I'll wait till tomorrow. I'm really tired. It's almost midnight, and you know, I get ready for bed. I'm in bed, and no, it's not leaving. It's like, will someone go back and give thanks tonight? Not tomorrow morning, even if you get up early, tonight. And so I get back out of bed there. It was after midnight then. I come up here, and you know, not to make it any spiritual or anything, I just spent 20 minutes, that's all. So nothing great, nothing wonderful, but I made sure that I gave thanks on behalf of the congregation for what God did in that service Saturday night. Now, interesting, on the Sunday, I think I may have shared it in the service or whatever, however it happened, the speaker caught that, and he went on a tangent. Like, he kind of shocked me, and off he went about how important that was, and because that was done, resulted in another major blessing that morning. He never got to his notes again. He just began to speak and began to prophesy as the Lord was speaking to him. And as I thought about that, I was like, my goodness, like, it wasn't really that hard to do that. Yes, it was a little bit inconvenient, but it wasn't hard to do. And I began to think, well, I understand that part, Lord. I'm the pastor, so I represent the church. And so when I give thanks, I am basically representing you to give thanks unto the Lord. But it was this passage that was also in my heart that wasn't there others that could give thanks. And I thought about it. I said, my goodness, if one person gave thanks and that could result in this blessing, what would happen if all of us gave thanks? And I bet you tonight, if I asked this morning how many others that night felt the very same thing, to go home and to say, thank God for that night, there would be probably a number of hands that also would probably go up. And you probably did that as well, that you give thanks unto the Lord. But thanksgiving is so powerful because it releases blessings into our lives and into the church and into our hearts. Even in our worship time, you know, as Toby encouraged you there to step it up, like, let's all enter in. See, what you need to realize is that as we do that, blessings start getting released. People start getting ministered to. Sometimes people get healed. Sometimes people get saved. Sometimes people get delivered just sitting or standing in a congregation without anyone saying anything about them. And that's been happening here in this church. And I love that. I really do. I love it when nobody can take the credit for what God has done. That it was just totally Him. But we need to be thankful. And God wants to remind us as we observe what is happening in our church, as we observe that God is speaking to people. He's speaking to little children. He's speaking to our young people. He's speaking to us as adults. And we need to be careful to say, thank you, God. We need to be careful to come to that place where we give our thanks unto the Lord. Because God's expecting us to give thanks. I find that rather interesting. He's expecting it. So we're not to come into this place and say, well, I hope the worship team's really good this morning to stir me up, to get me to that place. No, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to give thanks unto the Lord. Last week, last Sunday, the farmers, they lay to rest. Don laid to rest his dad. And as they were walking out with a casket, the family began to sing a song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And as they began to sing that, I said, how beautiful. They're worshiping the Lord. They're thanking the Lord because they had a dad who loved God. They had a dad who was passionate about the things of God. And they knew where he was. And so as they were walking over that casket, that beautiful little song was sung. They gave thanksgiving unto the Lord. And that brought a huge blessing. Instant change in that room as they did that. It was beautiful. Very beautiful. So I want to share with you this morning just a few areas where we need to be thankful for from this passage of Scripture. Since this was the passage that really spoke to me. And as I look at this passage, one of the first things I see is that it teaches us to be thankful for God's mercy. Luke 17, 12 to 13. As Jesus entered a village, there 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, obviously, these lepers had heard about Jesus. They must have heard the rest of the crowds that were talking about Jesus. His fame was going throughout the land. And so when they heard that he was coming towards them, they began to cry out to Jesus. Now, you have to understand that as lepers, they were not allowed to get close to Jesus. They were not allowed legally even to be close to anybody that was healthy. You were basically to say unclean, unclean. You were to warn other people not to come near you. So they couldn't even come near Jesus. But in their desperation, they cried out to Jesus. And they said, "Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the Bible tells us in Luke 17, 14, then it says, Jesus looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, to me, I see quite great faith there. Jesus did not touch them. Jesus did not go over to them, but he simply just shut it back. And so, go to the priest and show yourselves to them. They understood what that meant. Because if you had leprosy or any disease that you were pushed out or outcast from the community, you were not allowed back into the community until the priest declared that you were now healthy, that you were good, and that there was no longer an infectious disease happening in your life. So they knew that as they were going to the priest, that they were going to be declared clean, healthy, good, healed. He had mercy. The Lord had mercy. Mercy is that undeserved favor and kindness and compassion of God that he gives to us in place of judgment. So in other words, we deserve judgment, but God instead extends his mercy and his grace to us. And that's who he is. He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103:8, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." That's our God. Another verse there in Psalm 103 says, "He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve." And that's a wonderful thing if we can really understand that the grace of God, the mercy of God is available to us. Even as we come this Sunday, no matter what we have done, the Lord is still extends mercy, still extends grace. Even though we don't deserve it, he's that type of God. "I'll extend mercy to you." So we need to be thankful for that, that we serve a God that hears us, that we serve a God that answers our prayer, that we serve a God that speaks to us. We serve a God who is faithful to us. We serve a God who is merciful and kind and loving towards us all. That's our God. And he continues to cry out to us and tells us, ask. Go ahead and ask. You don't have to be the elite of any society. You can even be the outcast of society. And he's still saying, go ahead and ask, just like these lepers did. And they cried out. Listen to what Hebrews 4:16 says. "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Why will we receive it? Because of what he has done. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done, going to the cross for us. The mercy of God. But he's inviting us to come boldly to the throne room. Because if we will do so, we will find mercy. We will find grace in that time when we really need it most. And I realize that, you know, the time we're living is rather tough right now in our nation and in our provinces. And I know sometimes during these times, people get upset at God and where's God and all these kinds of things. I'm sure God has some very good answers back to us that would probably just simply rebuke us and saying, "Well, you knew that was coming. Why didn't you prepare?" And all kinds of things like that he could say. But isn't it good to know that he doesn't say those things to us? Instead, he comes mercifully and says, "Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will minister to you. Yes, I'm going to intervene on your behalf." Because, see, God wants to intervene. God wants to extend mercy to us. See, we need to just get that place where we humble ourselves and you know, get desperate enough, just like these lepers, and cry out to God and say, Jesus, Master, I need mercy. I need mercy. And see, he's always listening for that cry. He's always listening for that cry of desperation to come from us. That's our God. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If we will come to him, if we will cry out to him, if we will pray, if we will seek him, God says, I will give you a peace. I will come into that situation. You will experience a peace like you've never experienced before. And I realize that for many people in our Lakeland region, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of worry, and lots of people are being affected, and even our church is being affected. But what's God saying in the midst of that? I believe I'm hearing those words, cry out to me, pray to me. He's still in control. He's still in charge of the turn. If you would walk around these walls, and I encourage you to do that, to just to see what people are writing. I also encourage you to pick up a form out there in the foyer and write it out what God is speaking to you or saying to you. Take a few minutes after church to pray and seek the Lord and say, Lord, is there something you would like to say through me that I could put something else on that wall as well? But anyway, as you go around that wall, you'll find three times, I think so far, there's a word that people have written, be still and know that I am God. That's a powerful little word right there in itself. Be still and know that I am God. Now, as pastor, I do get concerned about financial things. I get concerned about spiritual things. I get concerned about a whole lot of things. Probably too much. But anyway, on this past Monday, Daniel Baker, he gave me a call before I even got my truck out of the garage there. He gave me a call on early Monday morning, and just start with a little bit of chit-chat at first, and I'd send him a text to say, we're praying for him. And then he said, I want to say thank you for that and some things that were going on in his life. And then he said, I have a word that keeps coming to my mind, and it's a word, recompense. And as I think of this word is for all of us, but this morning I was thinking of you, George, and for you to pay special attention to this word as well. But it's for a word for all of us. But he said, I hear this word over you, over your church, the word recompense, which means that God is in charge of the compensation for the loss and the injury that you are experiencing. And so if you're here today and maybe you're one of those people that lost your job or you lost some things, some injury came because of all these things, God is saying the word recompense. And that means that there's compensation that is coming for that loss or for that injury. He says, I hear a second word. And I wrote this down on the back wall there. I'm not sure which side it is, but it's on the back. Compound interest. A return with interest compounded. And then he says the third word, and he said this word, but I can't remember it. But it basically meant the 30, 60, 100-fold return, a multiplication that God would do. He said, in this season, we are to trust him because the Lord is in charge of the return. And I think that's a great word for all of us, that the Lord is in charge of the return. He is mindful of what is happening right now, but he's also the one that's in charge of the return. Why would he be like that? Because our God is merciful. Because our God is merciful. See, God is telling us to ask, to present a request to God with thanksgiving, expecting an answer. Because God's expecting us to be thankful. God's extending his mercy to us. towards us. God's extending his mercy towards our church. Listen, we're no better than any other church. We're no more spiritual than anybody else. But God in his mercy is doing something very marvelous in our midst. And it's touching us. I have so many ministers that tell me, that is not normal. That is not normal. That people come to Christ, not at an altar, but in their seats in a service, all by themselves with no one else talking to them. It's not normal that somebody just gets healed while they're sitting in a service. It's not normal that somebody can walk in a foyer and begin to cry out to God. It's not normal that someone would be driving by and feel compelled that they would come into this place. Those things are not normal, Pastor. Give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy. Secondly, we need to be thankful. We'll worship. It tells us that all 10 lepers were healed. But only one came back to give thanks and worship. Luke 17, 15 to 16. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet and he thanked him for what he had done. Only one came back to worship. But Jesus was expecting the other 9 to also come back. We see that in verse 17. He says, Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men, where are the other 9? And I think that's a great reminder that God calls all of us to give thanks. It's not just my job. It's not just the job of our worship team to give thanks unto the Lord. It's all of our jobs. We are all to give thanks unto the Lord. We are all to give worship unto the Lord. We're all to bow before him and to give him the praise that he deserves. All of us need to come to that place where we cry out to God and we do give our thanks. You know, because when Jesus says these words, were there not 10 men? Where are the other 9? You could see in those words that there was a concern there of Jesus, that there was a disappointment in Jesus that only one bothered to return. However, as that one person did come back, they did worship the Lord. They did give credit unto the Lord. Now you'll need to recognize that this man, as he came back running to Jesus, he had not gone to see the priest. He didn't finish the trip. So he was coming back and not being declared whole. Not being declared that he was now healed. But he knew he was healed. And Jesus said to him, verse 19, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." He wasn't going to a priest. He was going to the priest of the priests, to the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And Jesus declared that he was healed. But you know, as you read some other translations, it says that that your faith has saved you, referring to a wellness not just of the body, but also of the soul. So what did he receive that the others did not? He received a declaration from the Lord himself that he was clean. And not just clean physically, but also spiritually, that he had been made clean for coming back and worshiping the Lord and giving him praise. You know, that causes me to wonder, Lord, what do we miss when we fail to give thanks? I can see it in a service. I can see it in our worship times. That if we don't give thanks in our worship time, you can see a service go real quick. But when we do give thanks, that's when God's presence starts to really begin to flow out through a congregation. That's a time where people start to encounter God. That's a time you start seeing people, they start weeping and they start crying and they say, "What's going on? I don't understand it. Like, I'm here in your church and I'm weeping and I'm crying." Well, that's just the Spirit of God. Don't be embarrassed about it. Welcome him. Say, "Lord, I welcome you. Come cleanse me, Lord. Whatever you want to do in my life, I want," because he's the one that can do all that. Whatever our issues are, whatever our problems might be, that's the one you want to experience. That's the one you want to encounter. And that's what happens as we begin to worship the Lord. Praise him. Worship him. Thank him. Psalm 102:4 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. God is expecting from us a response. God is expecting a response from you and I of worship and of thanksgiving. Not just in church, but every time that God does something good for you. We've been doing this series on our prayer nights on Wednesday night. We just kind of got it started. And one of the things that they were talking about and how to pray is that when certain things happen to you, use that as a moment to encourage yourself to step out and say a little prayer. And I got thinking about that, implying that to Thanksgiving, that whenever something good happens to you, take a moment and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I thank you that you just did this for me, that you did something good for me. Thank you, Lord. That only took, less than a minute to say. But that's what we need to start doing. That we would start to live in a realm where we would say thank you to God. And we all understand that, even in the natural, with raising your children, when your kids are appreciative of what you do for them and they say thank you, what does that make you want to do? Give them more. You want to give them more. But if they don't say thank you, if they don't show any appreciation at all, what does it want you to do? You want to take back what you gave them. Give them nothing. That's your God. He wants to give you more. But he still expects you to say thank you. The wonderful blessing that as we worship him, his presence comes into the room and supernatural activity begins to happen. That's why we need to worship him in our thanksgiving. Then lastly, in the blessing of forgiveness, you need to remember that in being thankful, we need to give the praise and the glory to God. When God does something for you, our response needs to be, thank you, God, and give him the credit for what has happened. Now sometimes, we kind of get ourselves in the way and we say, I did a pretty good job, or, I did this and I did that, and that's kind of why, God's doing these things. Well, because I did these things. My, how spiritual you are. How wonderful you are. If you ever notice that sometimes you hear people and they talk, I heal so-and-so and I heal this person and I healed, and they're going on these stories about I. That drives me crazy. You didn't heal them at all. God may have used you. God did the healing. God did the miracle. Amen. Tells us in this passage, has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? Verse 18, see, a Samaritan, they were kind of an outcast. He was an outcast as a leper, but then he was also an outcast because he was a Samaritan. The others obviously were Jewish people, and of course God was saying, I expected of them more than of you. But yet the person he least expected it came and gave him glory. But this glory is so important to God. See, the Bible is quite clear. The glory goes to God. And when I don't speak too often outside of the church, but when I do, I like to tell the stories of what is happening in the church. And the stories I always tell about what is happening in this church are always the stories where I had nothing to do with it. I always tell the stories about where God encountered somebody that was sinning in the congregation, where somebody encountered God in their prayer time, or somebody was encountering God out on the highway or out in the bush. Those are the stories I like telling, because all the credit and all the glory goes to God. I sometimes make myself know that some way, look, like, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in your church. Like, you don't know nothing. I don't care if they think that at all. I just want to know that God's in the church, that God's touching people, God's ministering to people, and that's why we're supposed to give him the credit, because all the glory goes to him. Jude 1:25 says, all glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord, all glory, majesty, power, authority are his before all time, in the present and beyond all time. Amen. The glory goes to God. And that's something that as God continues to move into this church, we need to be careful that the glory goes to him. That's what we need to be careful of. The glory must go to him. If you want to stop a revival, if you want to stop a move of God really, really quick, start taking the glory. Start standing up there and saying, you know, because I am so spiritual, these things are happening. No, you got to give the glory to him. All glory, all praise, all honor goes to him. And that's something that we need to do as well, that all the glory must go to God. And as it does, blessings get released back into us. God begins to bless us anymore. When he's getting the credit, he just wants to do even more. And so he'll bless you even more. And so that's the way to get more, is give him glory more. Give him the honor and the praise that he deserves. And so this morning, just want to encourage you to appreciate your God. You serve a God who is loving, merciful, kind, compassionate, forgiving. What a God. What a great God. What an awesome God. He's merciful to me. I need to thank him for that. That needs to bring thanksgiving in my heart. That God doesn't treat me as my sins deserve, or even when I'm lacking faith, God still can come through. Because he's God and he's merciful. We need to put action into our thanksgiving and our worship. Whether it's in our word or deed or our lifestyle, our finances, whatever it is, to give thanks unto the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and give the glory to him. Because thanksgiving is more important than what you think. It really is. And God will bless us and give us so much more as we take a response and say, Lord, ain't no rock going to cry out my place. We need to get to that place and say, no, I ain't letting no rock cry out my place to give my praise. I will give my own praise. I'm going to lift up my own hands. I'm going to offer unto the Lord what I can do and what I'm able to do. I ain't going to let that congregate, those worship leaders up there, take all that praise on Sunday morning. I'm going to start praising him. I'm going to enter in. I'm going to start worshiping the Lord. I'm going to make sure my voice gets heard amongst the crowd, amongst that heavenly host, as we start to sing. That's what we need to do, friends. We need to make that our priority, even in our church, in our personal lives, because it is expected. God expects us to give thanks. So this morning, let's take time to give thanks.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow